Jason Navarra invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli.
With Richard Marsland on the buttons.
Today, with that election still approaching, despite ticket sales being well below expectations, we'll recall the most bizarre moments this year in federal parliament.
What to do when faced with a sauce bandit?
We go, well, up top as Ed distributes the gratuitous high fives.
All the latest on former South Australian all-rounder Joe Scuderi.
Unsolved mysteries, the seven circles of social hell, neighbours' secrets revealed by yes, pals and insiders.
What flavour are white jelly beans?
Breast news.
Army tests invisible tank.
And classing things up at our second hour, the always welcome Jane Kennedy. Jane's on board.
Tony seen it coming like a thief in the night. Tony seen it coming like that flash of your light.
Yes, it's all coming up on Get This, where people are now asking, is Richard Marsland set to be the next bionic woman? Yeah, that's very impressive, Richard, but are you?
Tony, I think that question shows how silly all of this is getting.
Thanks, Rich. Now, you won't be hearing a bad thing from us about that. Back in Black, thank you very much. AC/DC here. Get This around the nation on Triple M. Welcome aboard, everybody. It's myself, Tony Martin. Oh, we've got Ed Cavalli.
Hi.
No.
See? Wrong answer, apparently. Well, pushing the buttons, it is Richard Marsland.
Oh. Thank you. Give yourself a ride on Moa.
Bigging himself up as per usual. Welcome to Get This Around the Nation, where the countdown to the final week of shows is underway and we're getting a lot of support out there. As you know, Ross Noble's flying back, Lockie Hume's flying back.
Great news.
A lot of people call up this show from time to time and say, why doesn't that bloke who writes on that show, Richard does on SBS, Newstopia.
Who?
Sean McAuliffe. I think he does a bit, he contributes a few one-liners, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, bare minimum.
Yeah. Why hasn't he been on the show?
Mm.
Now, the answer is he works for a rival network.
Yes.
A rubbish one, clearly.
Ooh.
We don't want them in here.
No.
Soiling our gear.
Well, okay.
So I thought, okay, fair enough. We can't have him in. But then I discover he loses his job on the morning of our last show. So on 10 o'clock on the morning of our last show, McAuliffe technically stops working for someone else and can come on this program.
Hooray! Outstanding.
So thanks to his dismissal, we get him in here moments before ours.
It's the least he could do.
It's all comedians must go.
That is great news.
He's on board and the army are behind us. Here we get this.
All
this
of
is,
them?
Nikki handed me this great email from someone using the genuine code name of Captain Dash.
Captain Dash.
He's emailing us from Afghanistan.
Ooh.
He says, I'm serving here in Afghanistan with the army, and I have to tell you, during our orders group the other day, the boss mentioned, after all the official stuff, by the way, Martin and Get This have been canned. For those of you who regularly download the podcast, I suggest you keep your crying to small doses where no one can see you, especially the Taliban.
So we are officially entertaining the troops.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Does that mean we can go over and do a USO-style show?
Yeah, like Apocalypse
Now.
Dancing to Susie Q.
Rich in a bikini.
When they get mortared, do they throw in assault? Assault!
Just like the idea of Tony standing there entertaining the troops with a golf club.
Yeah, hey ho.
Hell of a sand trap.
Oh, gosh. Dang.
I'll give a crack. Hello to everyone in the armed forces, wherever you may or may not be.
Oh, I get it.
I know why they're rushed.
Does the Taliban listen?
I'm sure they do.
They on for a bit of us?
Yeah, testing really well in Tora Bora, guys. Straight ahead. I think a lot of people tune in, get the podcast, just because they want to know what's going on with the election campaign.
Yes.
And hasn't it been an amazing year in Parliament?
Huge.
I stayed up a lot of nights this year watching Order in the House. Have we got a
Is that because you thought it was Man About the House?
I just thought you were wacky on the bindi beats, but apparently just staying up all night watching Order in the House.
Well, hit that button, Rich, and you'll see what I was up to. People probably think it's boring, you know.
No.
That there's no gags in there.
No.
But Peter Costello, he is just busting out the gags left, right and centre. Check it out.
Mr. Speaker, a tax policy is not an optional extra in a political campaign. It's the basis of how you pay for all of your services. It's like a cricket team without a wicket. It's not like a sunroof on your Commodore. It doesn't come along as one of the options. It's like the steering wheel. It's like the engine. You know, a political party without a tax policy is like a soloist turning up to go on It Takes Two on a Tuesday night. It can't be done. It's lonely. It's missing something. I am asked if I am aware of other tax policies.
Oh, Top Gear.
He's laying them in the aisles.
How do you follow that?
Is it was it the member for Age Services just on drum?
Yeah. It's Australian Parliament live from the Friars Club. And, Downer gets up, though.
Oh, does he?
Oh, he puts in. Check this out.
Mr Speaker, first can I thank the honourable member for his question. And let me just say that I'll be visiting the United States from tomorrow at the invitation of Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, and the visit...
The member for Gorton is warned.
Mr Speaker, I will be visiting the United States at the invitation of the Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, and it will be an opportunity to discuss issues such as fighting terrorism in...
Okay, it's putting me to sleep now.
He's on there.
Hey,
it's going to happen.
You know, they're the big guns. So many guys up the back.
Yeah, it is the best job in the world.
Yeah.
Just hang up the back in a suit. Doesn't fit you. A little bit of gut hanging out the bottom, and every now and then go...
And, you know, guys from seats of Parliament you've never heard of. I didn't know about this bloke.
The Honourable Member for Kallair.
Minister, the Urbis Keys Young Report.
Order. The Member for Kallair has the call, and he'll be heard. The Member for Kallair.
Mr Speaker, my question...
Order. The Member for Kallair has the call, and he'll be heard.
Yeah, I know, it's cheap. It was late.
I like to think of it, though, as one of the 50-year-old fat guys just dressed as Anthony Kallair, little leather jacket, on his knees with the shoes out the front, half rude style.
What about the man out the front?
Oh, yes.
We haven't heard from John Howard.
No,
and, of course, people love hearing those words that he says when he was on the hot seat.
Oh, yes.
At PLPSFM, the kiddies put him on the hot seat, and he was referring to...
Vegetables.
And occasionally...
Shorts.
And everyone's favourite...
Mariana.
People love hearing that.
His favourite type of pasta. In the end, we get there.
No, he gets it right the first time.
Yeah. Then mucks it up.
So. Yeah.
Mr. Fine.
But he was getting it in last night. Check this out.
The Honourable Member for Mariana.
Mariana.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would the Deputy Prime Minister outline to the House how this government is helping local councils and communities?
The Honourable Deputy Prime Minister.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the member for Maranoa for his question.
Mariana.
And recognise his close involvement with local government and local authorities over many, many years, particularly in his electorate of Maranoa in Queensland.
Mariana.
Mr. Speaker.
It's like Rain Man. Just repeating phrases and comments.
But, you know, just finally, it's not just the usual cast.
No.
They have guests.
Do they?
Guests show up in Parliament.
I inform the House we are present in the gallery this afternoon, members of a parliamentary delegation from the Russian Federation. On behalf of the House, I extend a very warm welcome to our visitors.
Oh, no. Sorry.
The Honourable Member for Stirling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
My question is addressed.
That's not acceptable.
That's not fair.
That's
racist.
That's so racist.
Mino Reiki!
Oh, no, the racism gong is gone.
We have to close the show down.
Was that urine I could hear in the background?
Of course you could. It's Get This. I think it must be Thirsty Merc time, Mr. Barsland.
Thank you. Well, keep on. You know all of this, don't you?
Don't know the rest of it?
Yeah, I do. I know when the singing starts. Oh, no, don't. Hang on. Here we go.
Here we stand once again. I'm missing you like crazy, baby.
No, thank you, Thirsty Merc. It's Get This around the nation on Triple M, winding up 2.5 weeks. Lots of emails coming in. Fantastic ones from people like Heidi Llewellyn, Steve Patrick, Paul Gallo, the man who called up about Night Court the other day.
Great guy.
Who else did I want to mention? People who have just sent in beautiful ones that I don't have time to read out on air. Some of them. Oh, yeah, Tanya Simpson. That's right. Her ex-husband was mentioned on the show the other day. She was very happy about that.
Oh.
This bloke here, though, he'd like this sound to be up as a ringtone before we leave. And he says, Nikki, congratulations on the baby. Guys, good luck on the future. Love you guys. Dick Hurts. Oh, sorry, Dick Hurts is his name. That's his actual name too.
That's not.
He's sending his driver's license.
Dick Hurts is his real name.
It's Richard Hurts, but...
You've given it to him, have you? Given him the...
No, no. As you can see, the last line of the email is Dick Hurts. I thought it was a cry for help. Thought maybe there's something we can do. This bloke...
What would we do?
Nick. What about this guy? Nick. Thank you very much, Nick. He says, as the end approaches, blah, 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 if you do... Well, find yourselves working at video shops, as I imagine will happen. I've printed your names and what I think are appropriate video shop classification warnings.
Oh, wow.
He's made little classification stickers for us all.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So wow, look, there's me, PG, mild drunken New Zealand behaviour.
Pretty good.
Ed, M, moderate shonkiness. Yes.
What?
Richard, MA, strong veal gardens references, as we know. Nikki, G, pregnant producer.
Good.
Cecilia on the phones, G, I'm on the phone with another bong head. I don't know that goes on out in the foyer. And, of course, G-rated also is Maddie D on the pots and pans, imprisoned in the Triple M dungeon.
Those are great.
They are fantastic, beautiful, very authentic looking, I think actually illegal technically. What about Cameron Hayne? Have we seen the show Garth Marenghi's Dark Place? What do you reckon? Of course we have. You've seen our photos, you know what we look like. We don't go outside ever.
No.
Of course, we've seen it over and over again.
Hello there, Terry Cotterpot. What are you laughing at? That's a real name.
It's not.
Does her Cotterpot hurt or it's okay?
What's
like,
a Cotterpot?
Like Richard.
Is that rude, is it?
No, I don't think it is.
Surely it's Copperpot. Surely that's what
it is. No, it's Cotterpot. And you guys are really... No wonder she writes in and says you've promised 1,000 times to tell us all about your family histories before you finish up.
Oh, yeah.
I want to laugh at your misfortune some more. Please follow through with this promise. I'm looking at you, Mr. Cavalli. Well, actually, thank you very much for saying they're disasters, but I can say on the plus side that there is a wedding coming up later in the year for
me. Lavender!
It is not lavender. The wedding in my family is not lavender.
I lent on it. Sorry.
I've been working with Ed for 2 years, and in that time, neither of us have been able to successfully... draw a diagram of our family trees that the other one can understand.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Yours looks like the London Underground.
Yeah. You've got a lot more Chinese people in your family.
I do. I've got Chinese people for days. You want a Chinese guy? I can have you a Chinese guy in 10 minutes. No problem. No problem.
And yes, as I always say, our family tree, the council have asked us to prune it back a tad. It's out of control. Mr. Marsland has a much more straightforward family, including... according to many of our listeners, a hot mob.
It's creepy.
Petitionspot.com, all the petitions. We cracked 7,000 last night.
Seven grand in petitions.
7,000. I love it when people write the number, they go, I'm number 7,000, and they're number 609.
Oh, they get it wrong.
Yeah, he's not happy.
Cam from Ferris Bueller writes, I weep for the future. There's a joke. And Travis from Big Brothero. I was lying on the old banana when I heard the news, oh. Wait till the boyos and girlos from Bolvia hear about this, oh. There'll be a war, oh.
Don't worry, we'll be with you soon, Travis.
Yeah.
Galen, move up on the couch for us.
And, of course, Freddie Groper writes, I have a micro penis, but it's all up there on petitionspot.com.
And what about this bloke the other day? What was his name? Oh, Antonio Cafasso. He called up on Talkback Mountain, and you might remember me as the kid who complained about the English exam.
Yes.
Well, feeling like a hypocrite after finishing the exam today, I found I've written 8 pages in just 2.5 hours. I said that writing this much in 3 hours would be a ridiculous expectation, so you can imagine how much of an idiot I feel like now. And yes, Cecilia, my hand hurt quite a lot afterwards. I won't read out the next bit.
Anyway, but...
how's that? We're helping the kids to learn. That kid called up cynical saying, I can't write anything in an English exam. Now he's a writing fool.
Mm-mm.
I think it was mostly C and B work, but...
That's right. But... Tolstoy's up for a bit of C and B. Don't tell me Shakespeare's not down for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Mention of penis.
Okay. I don't know if we're...
What?
If we're really helping. I don't know if we're helping anybody. You know who we need in here to help out?
Who's that?
Pals, insiders.
Oh, yes.
Industry sources. Let's meet them next. Oh, yes, Iggy Pop. Thank you very much. Kate Pearson from the B-52's Candy here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M, still brought to you by the Nissan Navara.
Ooh.
What a 4x4.
Yeah.
Hope it's not getting up itself.
No.
All these compliments, all these awards, well, gongs, clear superiority over other so-called utes.
Mm-hmm.
What a joke. I'll tell you one thing it doesn't have. What? It's hard to fault. We know. I know, Richard. China Hutch Buttertune. Surely it's got it all.
It's got all those things going for it.
Listen to this. In Tokyo, if you're stuck in traffic when Mother Nature calls, well, there's now a car toilet you can get happening.
Beautiful.
The manufacturer of plastic car accessories has designed a portable toilet for cars. The commode will come in handy during such major disasters as earthquakes or when you're caught in a traffic jam. Really? Is an earthquake going on? Hang on. I'm trying to have a piss in my car. Wouldn't advise that. Yeah, okay, yeah. Oh, it's listen to this. You're stuck in traffic. Simply assemble the cardboard toilet bowl, fit a water-absorbent sheet inside and draw a curtain. The product is small enough to fit inside a suitcase. Why not just use the suitcase, I say? All is folding things up and installing things, waiting for the earthquake to finish.
And what is wrong with a bottle? Since when was a bottle such a bad option? You know, if you're in a car, and this has happened to me before, you're in a car, you need to go,
yes,
but you've got to be somewhere and you're not sure if they have a commode, then you just, you know, your standard drink bottle is pretty much the amount that's, if it goes in, that's pretty much how much is coming out.
Is this why you lost your license?
No. it's not, but it does work. Do you know?
Well, we'll see if we can prove that later in the show.
I just don't see why you'd want to sit there assembling a toilet.
A cardboard toilet in your car.
A cardboard toilet. You know, that's just a cardboard box with a hole cut out the top and a little bit of text saying toilet on it.
I hope there's a special lane. I'd like to think there was a special lane. Just a few urinal cakes down by the accelerator. That'll sort things out. Okay, let's go.
Hang on, you know what's better?
What?
A better is a car where you can just go and they have a drainage system and it filters it away for you.
Yeah, okay.
That would be brilliant. The Nissan Navara, possibly people looking into that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I get the laboratory somewhere at Nissan with people with pegs on noses. I don't know. I'm sure they don't want us saying this. Let's class things up with the help of one of our favourite contributors. He's going to be in the last week, Dave Graham.
Oh, yeah.
Singer, songwriter. We've had him in a lot. People have suggested that maybe if we'd had the Rogue Traders or the Veronicas in a bit more, maybe we'd still be on air.
Oh, those Veronicas.
But they don't know.
Have you ever heard a bad Veronicas interview?
But they don't know.
You know what I mean?
They just don't seem to have the kind of insights that Dave Graney provides us on the show.
I do disagree with you, so I'd like to hear some.
Well, and, you know, it's not as if Dave ain't mainstream. The bloke was in Neighbours. Neighbours is something we're trying to help out with plot lines. It's been an ongoing theme. You were in Neighbours for a couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm. How did you seduce the doctor's wife?
Well, Ed, it's all like Chinese whispers, you know, the posters on Chinese walls, which people were told to, you know, spies would decipher what they were really meaning.
Oh, really?
In those simple days of Neighbours in the late 90s, you didn't actually copulate in a crude manner. I brushed the back of her hand with my fingers.
Oh.
The belly of my fingers.
Oh.
See, that wouldn't...
Sauce.
That wouldn't get on now.
More objectionable.
That was an earlier time.
That's too nuanced.
Yeah.
But the audience knew they were more sophisticated, I think.
Well, on Home and Away, it's just all hot people now.
Yeah, and it's just teabaggings on first dates.
As
soon as you go.
Teabag? What's teabag?
Well, it's all the rage, apparently, according to Crystal.
Zoo magazine, it's, quote, becoming more common.
Yeah.
It's on the website.
I thought teabags were a racial slur for limeys.
Oh.
Poms.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't mean that.
No, it's worse than that.
No.
It's enough years have passed. This was over 10 years ago. I was an extra just for my own amusement in an ABC drama.
Come on.
And there was
which one?
It was Mercury.
Yeah, Mercury.
It was the show Mercury.
That's about the newspaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a good one.
So technically I've worked with Jeffrey Rush.
Yeah.
I was just walking past in the background. And there was this bloke who was an extra, and he claimed to me that he lived in one of the houses that they use. You know, I think
I've heard this.
Once you're in the studio, that's a fake house.
Yeah, but the externals are our
externals are a real house.
Yeah.
And he lived in one of those houses, rented. And he said, oh, mate, you get these bloody busloads of English tourists coming past and you get up, you know, 9 or 10 in the morning, they're banging on your window looking inside and you haven't even had your first bong for the day. Unquote.
A friend told me that an Englishman went on a Neighbours tour.
Right.
And he said it was shocked by the shabbiness of it because they got on a bus. And if you ever, I live out that way.
Yeah,
I drive past Neighbours World all the time. Sometimes if the Burwood Highway's locked off, you have to drive off into Neighbours Land.
Right.
And there's no escape, you know.
So. People are going, look, it's Dave, part of the tour now. It's Dave's character driving through.
And all there is out there is service stations. And the neighbour's bus pulled up at the service station, and service stations have, you know, drop and go for your bottled gas.
Yes.
The bus driver gets out, unlocks the cage for the shabby neighbour's postcards and the neighbour's memorabilia. It's sitting out there on the deck of a service station.
Fantastic. That's the gift shop.
He unlocks it.
We've flown halfway around the world to go to the servo. Don't forget your party ice.
And, it adds to the whole experience. the suburban ennui.
Okay, thanks, Dave. We'll see Dave in a couple of weeks for a checkup. Haven't got any music queued up. Richard, can you sing a song for us?
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
That was very poor.
Can we try it again?
Give it another go. Come on. Ooh, that's better. Yes, the evergreen sounds of Bowling for Soup here. Get this, round the nation, as you know, on Triple M, and the podcast keep coming.
Oh, yeah. What's it for this week, Tone?
Four. One a day this week. Five pod week. That's what it is.
Oh, yes. Rallycast. Is that the one we're talking about that went up last night?
Yeah, that's right. The whole rally as it went to air. That was up yesterday. Another one up today.
Wow.
Another one up tomorrow. Matty D is currently on the roof of the building with a rifle. That's what it's done to him.
The 150 Jubilee for the podcast. That's when he brings out the rifle.
Didn't think of that. 150 coming up. That'll be going up today.
Brilliant.
Today. What an achievement. It's, get this, as I say, occasionally we're accused of being a little bit highbrow.
That's true.
Do you find that?
Often.
Let's prove that now. I think I had a cold when we were doing this. Okay, let's ramp things up as we have. I'm afraid, yeah, sorry about this, Nikki. It's time for breast news. As, no, it's not cheap Norg humour, or in some parts of the country, Norg humour. This is actual medical information. Listen to this. Breast enlargements are now the most common graduation gift for girls who pass their secondary school exams in Italy.
And is it good? I mean, okay.
Well, the graduation ceremony there, throw their breasts up in the air in celebration.
Well, is that it? Yeah. Diploma, mortarboard, enormous fake jugs. My education is complete. Boob jobs have knocked cars and summer holidays back into second and third places, respectively. Mm. So will that become a qualification? These breasts are from Harvard, but these ones over here... I don't know, this Angelica Pesce from Rome said she and many of her pals will be going under the knife in a few weeks, having just finished school. She says it's a much more useful present than something like a car,
exactly,
which will break down after a few years,
yep,
or a holiday which is over within a week. My new breasts will last a lifetime. Although there will presumably come a time when each will resemble an onion in a string bag. That's always the worry I find. What other breast news do we have? That's cheap and uncalled for. Listen to this from Bulgaria. A Bulgarian professor has promised students A grades if they write about Angelina Jolie's boobs and buy a copy of his new book. It's a professor, Professor Stefan Karayastanov of the Geology and Geography Department at Sofia University, made the promise as a protest after he was not paid for 3 months because of cash problems. Mm. Now, that sounds like fun, but not as easy as it sounds. Like, I mean, how much is there to say? How would you get 1,000 words?
I've got a lot. Yeah. Can you repeat the same word?
Well, obviously, quor. That would be one. You could add a lot of exclamation marks.
How do you spell drool, drool, drool?
Oh, come on.
No, that's cheap.
This is a medical segment. Sorry. It's not cheap. No, it's not cheap humour. Jeez. I don't know, writing a 1,000-word essay on Angelina Jolie's, but maybe you could just download one of the pre-written ones off the internet. Would they have any on there?
Probably.
Like if you typed Angelina Jolie's breasts into Google, would anything come up, do you think?
Oh, I don't think so.
This week's most common searches. Actually, there it is. Angelina Jolie's breasts, Cavalier meat pie trailer, Martin Malloy funny man feud, Marsland edible underpants fiasco.
What's that last one?
I'm glad to put that behind me.
What other breast news do we have? No, please. Uncalled for. Juvenile.
And baffling.
quickie boob jobs in London. Listen to this. British women could be having boob jobs in their lunch break soon with a new fast-track breast enlargement procedure.
Goodness.
It involves extracting fat from the patient's buttocks.
Oh, wow.
That's always good. And then, I don't understand this bit, useful stem cells are separated out and an hour later a dose of stem and regenerative cells is packaged into a cartridge ready for injection. The breasts slowly enlarge over about 6 months. Come on!
Show us your dose of stem.
This is an adult program.
I'm getting too trigoning with these buttons.
They slowly increase. Like a plant. How do you water them? How do you encourage them to grow?
I don't
know. How do they know how to stop?
They, of their own accord.
Oh.
Of their own volition.
See, this is the argument you need to take for stem cells. Well, I don't know if it's useful. I don't know if it's not. Yeah. Exhibit A, watch them grow. The watch them grow boobies.
No. No, please. It's not that kind of show, Richard.
This is an exciting new world we're living in.
Extracted from your own buttocks.
Yep.
Do you really want ass norgs, honestly, in your lunch hour? Where are you going for lunch? Oh, I'm just going to pop out and have a whole lot of fat extracted from my ass and injected into me tits. Right.
Can I come?
Doing that at Subway now, are they? It's the lunchtime meal deal. Footlong sandwich and ass norgs for $5.99. No. Richard.
That is the last one, Richard.
Please.
That is the last one.
That
last
is
one?
Out of order. Write that in the false book.
Okay, yeah. It's going straight in.
Ass norgs. Mm. It's so much more convenient, though, for office sex pests. Now you can grab someone on the ass and the breasts at the same time. Then the time saved can be spent trawling the net looking for pictures of Britney Spears emerging from a limousine sans pants dignity and any chance of being invited back to the Mickey Mouse Club. Okay. All right, I'm calling this segment off. I agree. Talkback Mountain is next. Get this at Triple M. Oh, sorry, it's finished. You too here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. We're running a bit late, so let's get straight up there. Don't even bother with stumbled introductions. It's Talkback Mountain. Beautiful work, Goats and Matty D on the Pots and Pans. All I've got written down here for a topic is up top. What's going on there?
Well, Rich and I love a high five.
Oh, you do love a high five.
So we're giving the listeners a chance to get on board.
Yeah.
And basically, it's a celebration today, Tone.
Right.
An achievement, something you've done, which was great. Maybe it was small. Something that, like today. Today, Rich,
yes,
I got my first manjo of the season, and it was absolutely delicious.
Up top?
Up top.
There we go. Is this a Mexican high five?
You see.
All right, that's as simple as that, is it?
It's as simple as that. It's a celebration today. Yeah.
Well, the comedy issue of Zoo Weekly is out.
Man, they get a good plug out of us.
Those tits are hilarious. No, it's the comedy issue. And, you know, when something like this comes out, it's a bit scary opening it up.
Yeah.
But none of us. None of us have made the world's 10 least funny comedians for Zoo.
Wow. I prefer the comic strip section. Have you seen that one, Tone?
No, what's there?
Where a comedian goes into does, you know, like 10 minutes, a tight 10.
Yeah.
And then every time a woman laughs, she's got to take off an item of clothing.
It's called the comic strip.
It's such a great idea.
Well, you've got your own copy, Rich.
Yeah, I've got my own.
Hang on, this is the office copy.
Yours is in a binder.
That's right. So you must have gone out and bought that because this is the office copy.
So how does it work?
Do you subscribe? Are you a Zoo subscriber?
Each time the ladies laugh,
not even answering.
Off comes an item of clothing.
Yeah.
Up top.
Up top indeed.
There we are. Okay, but look, now I'm just doing the stats. World's 10 funniest comedians.
Mm-hmm.
2 of the 10 have been Get This co-hosts.
Not bad.
I'm not going to say who. That would be impolite. And only 1 of the 10 least funny have been co-hosts to Get This. That's worth one.
Not bad. We're doing okay.
All right. And it's pretty scathing in your Zoo Magazine comedy issue because they've got the unfunniest things ever list. And at number 3 is testicular cancer. Fair enough.
Number 3.
But at number 1, the wedge. Ooh. Ouch.
Ouch.
That's a low 5.
Down low.
Down low.
Okay, Mr. Marsden, what have you done?
This is great. This is in the paper today. The Herald Sun, Leon gave us a call.
Yep.
The Herald Sun in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Home and away. You know, oh, they give you the TV listings and they write little reviews of the episodes coming up.
Sure, sure.
That's from Cameron Adams. Kids with guns, the L word being dropped, lots of people in singlets. Yep, just another week in Summer Bay. After the L word tonight, the C word is reciprocated. That's C for care. Oh. Meanwhile, Rick, now rocking some Samson-style hair, clashes with girlfriend Matilda when he calls off their date. This is dizzy stuff, folks.
Oh, fantastic! Message is getting through.
Thank you for that, Leon.
Do we have time for any more?
Yes.
Do we? As you know, I have an Apple computer, I'm afraid. Whoa, of course, that's not necessarily... Obviously, it's a delayed reaction in the technical department and they have to drop the
robot chicken.
DVDs. That's right. The technical department, not very impressed by that. But so I've called up a major office retailer to try and get some Microsoft Word software.
For your Apple?
For me Apple.
Okay.
So I've called them up, and they've got everything for your office.
Yeah.
That's their phrase, everything for your office. So I've called them up, and I've said, well, have you got Microsoft Word? They go, yeah, come on in. Driven all the way in there.
No.
Haven't got it for Apple, though, mate. We don't have any Apple stuff here. But I'm going, it's everything for your office. People surely have, you know, a computer in the office. That'd be one thing that'd be in there.
Mm.
And he's gone, nah, nothing Apple here. And then I've looked over, and behind him is a cardboard standee for iTunes and iPods. And I've gone, well, what's that then? What's that big round object on that logo on that standee in your shop? What is it? That's iTunes. I'm going, no. What is the object? What is it? That'd be a, mate, it's iTunes. And he wouldn't say it.
Oh.
Okay, it's an Apple. Yeah. It's a freaking Apple right there. So you're quite happy to sell it when it's something real popular the kids are into.
Are you getting dragged out of there by
no,
this point?
I walked out with the standee.
Oh.
There you go. Got to my car, took it home, had my way with it. Okay.
It's good on you, Tone. Small victories.
Pretty sad. I'm really ready for my lie down, I think.
Okie dokie, listeners.
But high fives ahoy.
Give us a call. Talk it up.
Anything.
High fives all round.
1-3-3-5-3. That's the Plain White Tees. Hey there, Delilah. Get this around the nation on Triple M, where we're attempting today to high-five our audience down the phone lines. Why should we, Ed?
G'day, Joel.
Hello.
How you going?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. What's going on?
Can I say hi to Tony and Richard too?
Yeah, go on.
How you going, Joel?
Hello. Can I also say, Ed, I'm in your top friends on MySpace.
Well, not anymore, Joel. Not anymore, bro. Not anymore. Come on.
We haven't been hanging out much.
Well, is that probably because you're bothering me? All right, what's going on?
No, it's because, should I say why? He doesn't go there very often.
No, I don't go there because it's getting a little stalky, bro.
Yeah, I know.
But I love talking to you. And talk me through it. What are we high-fiving about? What's going on?
Well, I've always tried to get this talk back. And I finally have.
Up top. Simple as that.
Good on you, Joel.
Well done, Joel. What an achievement.
Have a good day, brother.
Thank you. You too.
Nice talking to you.
How embarrassing if he called us up to tell us that and then never got on.
Yeah, well, I mean, Hi, Lucy. How are you going?
Good, thank you, Ed. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you very much. What's going, what are we high-fiving about?
I ordered a box of sand on the internet and I got a computer.
Up top. Okay.
I actually also have a real achievement.
Yeah.
I was at the rally the other day and I won Made in Manhattan.
Up top.
My achievement is I watched the whole film.
Ooh,
wow.
Without vomiting and without screaming at the screen.
Wow, you are the first one.
And after it had been kicked up the street by several angry people, I'm amazed it still played.
Good on you, Lucy.
Beautiful.
Nice to see you the other day. G'day, Brenton. How are you?
G'day, Ed.
What happened, man?
On the weekend, I made a gutsy 22.
Brenton. Was the wicket playing havoc?
Oh, no, it was pretty flat, mate.
Yeah, was it really? And who are you playing for, Brenton?
Mulgrave Country Club.
And how are you sitting on the table at the moment, mate?
Well, this is the first game I've played all the season. I don't really know.
Yeah, who are the arch enemies of Mulgrave?
Well, we're playing Kerrymuir. Okay. There's also, I don't know, Nunawading, Box Hill.
Box Hill, yeah, I know all about them. Yeah. Tell me, Brenton, did you get out to a dodgy LB decision, or what happened, what went down?
No, a full toss and just completely missed it, mate. just straight through the wickets.
The autobiography is ready to go. That's chapter one right there.
Good on you, Brenton. Great talking to you. G'day, Antonio. How are you?
Not bad.
What's happened, mate?
Well, after listening to your podcast while I've been studying for maths throughout the year, I kicked ass on Monday.
Yeah,
up top.
Up top.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the only downside is that it was on Monday, 5th of November at 3 p.m., so I could not go to get this rally.
Oh, oh, well. Down low.
Very, very low.
You know, how does a Get This podcast help with a maths exam? I mean, are there many maths problems and solutions in there?
It sort of helps to have a giggle between differentiating and integrating equations. It's sort of, you know, it just varies things a little.
See, why don't they put that on the website? It helps to have a giggle between differentiating equations.
I think that'd be a great sort of, you know, like a tag.
Yeah. Straight ahead.
Sounds good. Thank you, everyone. Nice talking to you all.
Oh, that's all we've got time for.
Yeah, all we've got time for a fine list, though.
Sure, fine list.
And hello to all my MySpace friends. I do love them dearly.
Yeah, they're not all chasing you.
No.
Only a couple of them. She's going to be here. We haven't seen her for a while. And
it's
love,
too long.
Love having her in, and maybe she'll give you a high five.
Oh, here's hoping.
She'll also help us with some women's business. We need that sort of help. It's Jane Kennedy. Get this.
Whatever their motivation, there is nothing positive to be gained out of this.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
What I want because I can, if I don't because I wanna. Surely there's another Melbourne Cup today, Rich.
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored because I'm gonna.
Can we cross to a horse race? I've seen drunken people in the streets. There must be something going on.
Correct way to Flemington Tone.
Very nice.
This has come through.
It's the second hour of Get This, brought to you by the Nissan Navara. And look who's here, Jane Kennedy, one of our favourites.
Hello.
Hi, Jane.
She's brought in
food, have you, for Ed Cavalli?
Yes. Oh, you can have one too.
Oh,
and Richard can.
There we go.
They're
princesses.
They're rainbow cakes.
Oh man,
rainbow cakes. Is
rainbow
that entirely legal?
Frosting.
What
nice
flavour
frosting.
Are these?
Very good. Jane?
Sort of buttery, sugary, tasty. Yeah, there you go.
Tasty.
Sorry, Nick, I don't have one for you, but I know you're not eating for two.
Jane, I should warn you. Ed Cavalli has no compunction about being extremely rude and critical of food that our co-hosts bring in. He's done it before.
I absolutely am confident that Ed couldn't look me in the eye and say that any food I bring him would be bad. Okay. You'll lie, won't you, Evan?
I would never do that to you,
I know,
Jane Kennedy.
See?
I would never do that about a rainbow cake.
Bite in there, see what it tastes like.
I'm going to try and get some icing as well.
He was extremely rude about something Andrea Powell brought in one time.
Well, that's fair enough.
Kaz Cook's. Cooking wasn't impressive enough for him.
Is it a little heavy?
Well,
yes. What?
I mean, you can really taste the rainbow, which is nice.
That's the happy answer.
Let's go.
It's delicious.
That's great. Yeah, what are you complaining about?
No, this is delicious. Thank you, Jane.
Pleasure.
Delicious.
Made with love.
And for you, I have this empty wrapper of XXX mints.
No. That's pathetic, even by your standards.
I can't actually see it above the rubbish that's in front of you already.
Oh, man.
Hey, you want to see our office? That is a fire risk. It's going to take them a year to clean that thing out after we've gone.
Oh, I'm obsessed with cleanliness at the moment because, as you know, I am a housewife.
Yeah.
I'm a mother and I don't have a lot to do all day except think about cleaning the house.
Well, it's
sort of like any mess anywhere.
I say a clean hour, please. We've had breast news in the first hour. That's behind us.
Clean hour.
Clean things up, and we're going to visit the seven circles of social hell, whatever that means, at this hour of Get This. Thank you, Paul Kelly. It's the second hour of Get This. As I mentioned on Triple M, please, some more of that fake applause. Jane Kennedy's back. It's been great having you in here over the 2 years, Jane, because would it be right to say you don't really do anything else like
this? No, yes, it is correct.
I mean,
no,
I know
I
you
do
have children to corral. That's full time.
I do wrangle them, but no, you are the other person, only person really, who could wangle me in here.
Is that right?
There was one other group, and I can't really say too much, but it may be coming out the end of the year and next year.
Ooh, what's that going
to
be?
What's it got to do with?
It involves... It involves a furry animal.
Oh, hang on a second.
Okay.
You're
playing Skippy in a new...
The Littlest Hobo is coming back.
Oh, I'd love that. No, it involves a group of singing men.
Oh,
no, close, warm. Can't say too much.
Okay. I can't say anymore. It could be trouble.
And it involves me singing.
Oh, my
and goodness. Wearing a dental uniform.
Okay. And this is for children, you say?
It is for children.
Okay, okay. You can sing too.
I know, I can only vaguely sing in tune, and when you come across this, and it's highly unlikely that you will come across this when it comes out, you'll be quite mystified as to why I'm singing like I am.
Because you used to do quite a good Stevie Nicks.
Yes, Stevie. She's a bit of a hero of mine.
Really?
Oh, yes, I pay homage to her often. Yes.
No, don't look at me like you want me to repeat that story Tim Rogers told us about the straw. I'm not allowed to say that ever again, the legal department said.
It's my favourite story.
Straw, Stevie Nicks?
Yeah.
Okay, you can I'm put with them you. Best.
Yeah. Let's just say it doesn't involve the nose. Okay. Jane, surely you do get offered, you know, things to do all the time. People must want you to...
Not really, no.
No, come on. Dancing with the Stars must have called.
Oh, no. See, I waited for that phone to ring, and it was, you know, I guess as the eldest stateswoman now of Australian television, it was between me and Patty. So.
Okay, come on. No.
Patty got the gig there. I think, you know, so it would be tricky, but, you know, one day I'll get back there. I think some of those infotainment commercials I'd be pretty good at.
Oh, like brand power, that kind of deal.
I think there'd be outrage if I replaced the brand power girl.
Yeah, I think you do
she's
a great job.
Hot.
She's very sunny, yeah. I'll say that.
She is sunny.
She's been in the booty bank in Zoo.
Oh, man.
Jay, when you come in, it gives us a chance to throw myths about the fairer sex at you, see if they're true. Look at this. This was in a national newspaper the other day, Rules for Single Girls.
Hit me.
Take note. Look, number one, don't drink and dial your ex after you've been dumped.
That's number one. Yeah.
See, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
I can understand a lot of people going with that. Number two, if you exude energy, excitement and happiness, people will want to be with you. In fact, men will start chatting you up. Okay, now that sounds kind of sensible, doesn't it? Like you could believe that.
Yes.
Send flowers to yourself 2 weeks after Valentine's Day so it looks as if you have a mystery lover sending you flowers at random. That just sounds a bit crazy to me. Yeah.
2 weeks after Valentine's Day.
That's like my parents used to have one of their favourite records was Frank Sinatra singing the most insane song I've ever heard. I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. That's psychotic behaviour, I think. Won't run some out. Right, I'll write it myself. There we go. Okay, so those seem like good general tips. Jump down to number seven. Never heard this one. Look thinner on holidays by digging a ditch in the sand around your bottom.
Oh, Tony, well, that's an old trick.
Is that an old trick?
I've not heard of it. I think one of the old tricks, though, is that you lie down and you never get up. Because your stomach looks flatter when you're lying down.
But it's your ass. This is your ass. You're sitting down. Now, that can work at a beach, but how's that work at a nightclub?
Exactly. Or at the Trevi Fountain.
It's the Trevi.
Sitting on the edge.
Dig a ditch at Trevi.
Yeah, that's going to be difficult.
Wouldn't let you.
I reckon in the end, it's got to be number 10 is how to get guys. And is that what is the topic
no,
is?
No, listen
is
to it? This. When it comes to flatmates, we wouldn't advise going for anyone thinner or prettier. Well, that's ruthless.
Now, can I
no,
say?
No, that's fair enough. Remember I said that if you're a bride and you've got bridesmaids, you always make sure they're rather chubbier than you.
I have heard that, yeah.
So this is like evil.
How do you make sure?
It's evil. You go... Oh, Helen, would you be my bridesmaid? Gosh, I haven't heard from you, Jane, in about 20 years.
Tell me, Helen, what have you been up to? You've been eating a lot?
Maybe a photo would be good.
You haven't changed since school, have you?
Still injecting butter?
Okay, well.
Listen to this. When having a sickie, it is always best to take at least 2 days off to make things more believable.
Right.
Start fake coughing a few days before to lay the groundwork.
Too much work involved.
Oh, I can feel a sickie coming on about next Thursday. Getting this? Fake a gym routine.
Oh, come on.
By changing into your sports outfit in the office and then going out to a long lunch, return sweaty and tell everyone you've just jogged 6Ks.
Yeah, and then you're blind drunk and you crack onto the guy in accounts and that's what happens.
What a handy list. Okay.
I'd say I've used that one.
This is the eighth and final rule. Only wear new clothes for the first hour of a party. Then you should still be able to return it to the shop the next day.
So what do you do? You can get rid of the clothes.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, it's still a minute to go before this one goes off. Party.
In your ditch. In the ditch you've carved out in the living room.
That's right. Come and where's the host? Oh, just outside of the garden, sitting down.
I tell you, that would make a really good TV show.
Yes.
A girl who just does all those things. She's just this creepy girl who uses all those pointers.
Are you putting your hand up, Jane? Kennedy.
Come on.
Ding.
We could do with some
and
dancing.
I could be that girl.
Oh, you could man. Be that girl. It could be you. Here, get this.
They're gonna clean up your looks with all the lies in the books.
Oh, it's always dangerous when the guest brings food in. That's what Jane Kennedy's done today. My Chemical Romance. Is that election still going?
I think so, Tone.
Persisting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Been following
John
that.
Howard's sorry.
What's he sorry for
he's
now?
He's sorry that... Oh, he's not sorry about, you know, anything of major importance.
Oh, right.
He's what's just, he sorry about?
Oh, no, he's sorry that the interest rates have gone up. I'm sorry,
yeah,
he said.
Okay.
Sorry, but it had to happen.
That's good enough for me.
It's good timing. Excellent timing.
As long as none of the borrowers are Indigenous Australians. That's
correct.
The key. That's
there
the
you
key.
Go.
The apology.
Enough of that black armband view of history. We're not fans
he's,
of the black
he's a
armband.
Big lefty, Richard, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Isn't well,
he?
Fashion week.
Big so old lefty.
No more black armbands, Richard. Stop going on about Gallipoli and Anzac Day. It's the black armband view of history. You know, someone who people have forgotten in the election campaign, he's been a big part of this show, politics-wise, has been Kim Beazley. Do you remember his work?
Of course I do.
We can barely remember him, but...
have you got something to remind us?
Well, our listeners keep calling up and they say if they want one thing more than anything else, it's Kim Beazley talking about cheese. Have you got anything there, Rich?
Mr. Beazley, what's your view of these latest ructions between the Howard government and Telstra?
Look, I think what you're seeing there is a classic case of the Howard Telstra souffle failing to rise.
Right, so the souffle's... the release of the shares?
John Howard's baking a cake. It's a huge cake.
Right.
He's got no idea what the ingredients are.
Sorry, could you explain the cake a bit more?
It's a huge, misguided cake. He's serving it up to the Australian people, asking them to call it ice cream.
Right, but so the ice cream is being advertised as cake.
It's a hot day. Most Australians are sweltering. John Howard's meant to be driving up in the Mr. Whippy van with the promised ice cream.
No, I can't make head or tail of this. Why is he in a van?
It's an ice cream van full of dairy products that he's trying to unload on the average Aussie battler.
I'm assuming these are the shares, the Telstra T3 shares.
He's offering them shares and a bad piece of steak.
Right, so the steak is the... What, the shares of the steak or the...
It's inferior quality. And he's serving up a weak sop legislation.
Right, is that actually a foodstuff though, a weak sop legislation?
It's one of the ingredients in the bad piece of cake that he's asking the ordinary Aussie battler to bite down on and call...
Ice cream? Call it ice cream again, ice cream?
Cheese.
Cheese.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. He's saying, I've got a nice piece of cheese for each and every Aussie battler. But where's the cheese?
Well,
where is it? Where is this cheese that he's always going on about? That ordinary Australian families are being asked to take home and serve up.
Right, is the cheese the shares? Are we back there now?
Cheese. Where is it? Where's this cheese?
Sorry, are you asking me?
I can smell cheese. I'd love a bit of cheese. Have you got any cheese?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Right, well, where can I get some cheese?
Is this so that you can use the piece of cheese to demonstrate the way Telstra's being sliced up?
No, I just want some cheese. Oh, I'd love a bit of cheese.
You can take your hand off my leg for starters.
Have you got any cheese?
Look, I think I've already answered that question.
Why don't you run off and find me a bit of cheese?
Look, I'm not really comfortable with that.
I like cheese.
That's been well established.
So what were you asking again?
It's talking about the Telstra shares.
Telstra cheese?
Shares.
Sound a bit like cheese to me. I'd like a bit of cheese.
Okay. Feeling frightened for some reason. Oh, now even more so as we join the flock of seagulls, Iran. Jane Kennedy is here and we're going to visit the seven circles of social hell next. I'll get this at Triple M. There's a full stop right there. Nicely done. Flock of Seagulls, in case you were wondering here. Get this on Triple M. Jane Kennedy is with us. And in this hour, oh, have we got a fabulous prize pack.
Checks for a $53,000 breast enhancement and a $10,000 check for repairs to a car.
That's right. Or you could win...
a bear or a giant possum.
Take the possum. Seriously, take the possum.
Wow, Rich, that really is...
one bizarre brew.
All right. We've got it out of our system.
No. Can't stop him.
Jane, we're visiting something today. We visited before on the show. You ready for this, Rich?
Yep.
We're visiting the seven circles of social...
hell, 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 hell.
Yeah, that's quite enough. Ed, how does this work?
Very simply, Tone, everybody else. You just call in and describe a scenario that is your idea of social hell. For example, of any birthday party for a human being between the ages of 1 and, let's say, 8. Go, Rich.
Hell.
Buddy, I'm with you, but I'm not allowed to say it.
Now, no, of course. Well, wouldn't say that.
My sister has started having children, and more power to her.
Yeah.
Now she's the child gets older every year, as they do, and now one of them's up to 4. And,
really?
And thankfully she now lives in Chicago, so I don't have to go. But for 1 to 3, you have to go along to a birthday party. A, the kid doesn't know it's its birthday.
That's true, yes.
So then they have to put a hat on it. And then they have to take photos of it pretending. So you go, here's a present. And the kid goes like, what? And then you go, Ed, just open the present for it. No, open the present, but use his hand so it makes it look like he's opening it. Why are we still here? What did you get him? It doesn't matter what I got him. It doesn't matter because he doesn't know. I wrapped up a stick in cellophane. He doesn't know.
Wow, that really is a visit to hell. 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 Have you been there yourself, Jane? Hell. Anything at all?
I have, but I'm going to change the scenario. It reminds me when I think it was during my days of working in radio at Triple M, and as a favour, I reluctantly agreed to DJ a disco.
Yes, yes.
Out in the western suburbs.
Yes, yes.
And I turned up there and it was the wrong night.
Oh, the wrong night. That's
hell. Hell.
And it in fact was like their judo night.
Yes.
And it was very intimidating to walk in on, I have to say.
Did you spin some tunes anyway?
No, I was really scared.
Yeah, well, so it looked like you just crashed a judo night.
Yeah, just thought I just rocked in to watch a whole lot of Sharpies dressed in judo outfits.
Okay.
I was just checking them out in my frock and my heels. Hello, boys.
Jane, do you remember the many times when we were doing the breakfast show, Triple M Melbourne, late 80s, where we'd have to go up to the snow with some competition winners?
Oh, man. Yep.
And that was fine. You'd go up in the bus. Trouble is you'd use all your material on the bus.
That's
and then
right.
There's the whole weekend. What are you supposed to say? They're going, you know, to Wayne from St. Albans again. I'm going, that's not me. And, you know, it really does turn into
hell.
And I remember certain scenarios up there. I remember I've talked about them before on the show, the bloke doing the bucket of death, standing upside down in a bucket of water, being upstaged by a bloke who could drink a VB upside down on the outside of the pub. I remember, I can't talk about that one.
I have one that did occur when I walked into my bedroom that night to go to bed, and there was a former well-known rock star in my bed with a schoolgirl.
Oh,
hell.
I don't know.
Hell.
You're smiling hell. As you say it.
Hell.
Was that the closing act of the night?
Hell.
No, I quickly shut the door.
Fair enough. I think my all-time favourite was when we were at that beer barn at the snow where they have the stage that comes down from the ceiling with the band on it. Doing their song, and the gears jammed about a foot down from the ceiling. Had to finish the number crouching. Is there anything funnier than a crouching heavy metal band performing through a 1 foot slot? No, there is not.
It's true.
So okay.
If you've visited there yourself, I don't think Rich has got another one in him.
It's for my own, you mean?
He does, actually.
Okay. Going to dinner and not knowing anyone at the dinner party.
Oh, yeah.
But having to sit next to the two people who don't speak English.
Hell. Oh, hell.
Okay.
Hell.
And, of course, hell. It doesn't help that you're a deeply racist man, Richard
Barton. No, I mean that in the nicest possible way, but it's just...
Say what happened. Okay. Say what happened.
Well, I met one of Ed's friends from Mexico City.
Yeah.
First gag didn't work. Where's that? Where's Mexico City? Nothing. And then, of course, I...
Little sharp on Newstopia, though.
For some reason, broke into take me down to Mexico City where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. She didn't speak English. I didn't know that before I started the joke. Hell.
It looked like Rich just started singing at a stranger.
And she was just looking at me.
For no reason.
Like I showed her a card trick.
Oh, you live hell. In hell, Richard Barsland. yeah. Call us up with your visit to Social Hell. 133353.
Get this.
They've been publicly humiliated throughout the media. I'm not sure what else we would want to do.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
If that was a gap in your state, you know you can book that gap.
Cha-ching.
It is available.
Erectile dysfunction.
Yeah. Call the sales department. Get this. Around the nation, Jane Kennedy is with us. And no, Richard, nobody thinks you're racist because of that last segment. The nicest shock jock on radio. Drops a bomb and then apologises. Let's get to the circles of social.
Hell. Hell.
Who's down there? Hell. Ed.
Hi, Trevor.
How you going, guys and ladies?
G'day, Trev.
G'day, Trev. What happened?
I was at my cousin's wedding about 5 years ago, and we had a few drinks, and everyone gets in a circle, and someone gets in and does a dance.
Oh, yeah.
I jumped in the middle and went down and do a Colin Minogue move I've seen in one of her film clips and split my dacks clean off. The band stopped, and everyone was pointing at me, laughing at me.
Oh. Hell.
Okay.
Hell.
And does anyone remember anything else from that wedding, though, really, Trev?
Well, when I come in, I went out and changed my pants and came back in because I had a spare pair in the car, and the band actually stopped playing again and goes, oh, here he is, the old Ripper.
You even scored a nickname out of it, Trev. You've got to be happy with that.
Okay. Really.
Sorry, but why did you have a spare pair of decks in your car, by the way?
I don't know. I do not know.
I think you do.
It's all planned.
Okay. Nicely done.
I think that Trevor wears about six or seven pairs of pants, splits one, just tears them off, Velcro, another one underneath.
Another one in the breach.
thanks, Trev. G'day, Natalie. How are you?
Good, thanks, guys.
Glad to hear it. What happened?
I ended up at as a favour for a friend, going to a Deb ball in sunny Lithgow.
Yes.
And it turned out to be an Egyptian-themed Deb ball. Mm-hmm. So the debutantes in their white dresses with their little partners were walking, doing pharaoh walks down the aisle like Egyptians.
Oh, wow.
The reverend or whatever he was wearing his black suit with his little white collar and a pharaoh headset, like headwear.
Yes.
There was a pyramid cake. It was just really disturbing, basically.
You're in there, Natalie. You're in there.
Hell. It's disturbing. That's hell. What you want to hear after a wedding.
That is a disturbing image of a priest with the white, little white collar, but the pharaoh's
yeah,
hat on.
It feels like it might turn Temple of Doom at any moment. Somebody might have their heart presented to them.
Thank you, Natalie.
That's romantic. G'day, walking sideways down the aisle. Mm. That's going to get old.
Wow, well, one of these days. G'day, Rob. How are you?
Nothing bad. How's it going?
Excellent. What happened?
I'm currently dating a Greek girl and go to Greek Easter every year.
Mm.
And, have you seen my Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Yes.
Yeah, well, they always try and get me to say, to teach me things that aren't necessarily what it actually is.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. So you're being, without saying anything that's going to get us into trouble, what would be an example?
I can't.
Oh, wow. Hell. Okay. Must be good.
Hell. Tell us this, though. What was the thing that you thought you were saying?
I thought I was saying hello, but I was really saying, scratch my balls.
Okay.
Hell. Hell.
Straight to the point.
I mean, they're both useful sentences, Rob.
Oh, yeah, they've been useful sentences, but it just haven't been appropriate to say to a, 78-year-old yaya.
Okay. Well, you weren't to know, but it is a visit to the circle.
She may not have done that for a while, so it might have made her day.
Fair enough.
That's lovely nice. Offer.
Yes, I might do that later. Who's next?
G'day, Adrian.
How are you? How are you, boys?
We're all excellent. And what happened, mate?
Well, it's happened a couple of times now. A mate and I planned to, out in the city. We are doing whatever, two single guys. Within about 10 minutes of getting to the first pub, his ex-girlfriend turns up, and then I'm pretty much drinking on my own.
Hell!
What happens when the ex shows up, Adrian?
They argue for about an hour and a half while I'm sitting there kind of staring into my schooner, and then off they go.
They go off together?
Yeah, off they go, yeah.
Oh,
so and how does it start warming until,
How does she track you down, though? How does she know where to find you?
She was tracking him down, and I think he's been slipping the SMSs. On the sly.
On the sly.
What is the correct etiquette in that scenario?
Just kind of shuffle awkwardly a bit and,
Maybe fling a drink over them. Yeah. Tell them to scratch their balls and drink and then leave the building in a half hold of thought.
Tempting, yeah.
Thank you, Adrian.
What a lot of hell.
Oh,
that is a particular. I really like Adrian's because that's a really sort of low key one. You see the ex walk in and you just know here comes a discussion.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Night's gone.
There it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's all well and good and we love visiting hell. But do we want to genuinely frighten our audience?
Yes.
What's the next song? That might do it. Oh, no. No, it's just Eddie Vedder.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare to be terrified next on Get This. That's Eddie Vedder, Hard Sun, from the End of the Wild soundtrack. That's the new crowd pleaser from Sean Penn coming soon to a cinema near you. Jane Kennedy is with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we couldn't work out what the Kylie Minogue dance move was that split that bloke's
pants. Well, it was either the hot pants move or the can't get you out of my head move.
Yeah, yeah, if people would like to see you playing Kylie Minogue, you know where they need to go? YouTube.
Oh, you're kidding, really?
That clip is up there on YouTube.
Good heavens.
And we played that the other day in the countdown.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes.
But see, how odd. I mean, do I look anything like Kylie Minogue?
Well.
Not at all. Probably from about 10 feet taller and wider than her.
But more than Tom Gleisner does. So I think that was kind of.
Fair enough, yeah. I mean, I guess I was the only option, wasn't I?
Somebody had to do that. That's all. It's scary what's on YouTube. And speaking of scary, we love a bit of arse end of the show weirdness about now. Mm-hmm. What have you got there? Just hit that button, Mr. Marsden. Here we go.
Tonight on Unsolved Mysteries, we unlock the true life secret of a remarkable puzzle that's been perplexing and confounding the mystified and bewildered residents of me, Illinois, for years.
Well,
can you describe?
There was about 20 or 30 people.
Uh-huh.
At this funeral service.
And the apparition, you say,
was... I don't know. At some point, everybody was crying. It was very emotional. And we felt a presence come into the room. Yeah. And we looked around. There was a kind of a colorful, glowing figure.
Wow.
We all sensed that we knew this person.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the figure reached down, and there was some music started.
Really? How was that?
I can't explain where it was coming from.
Okay.
To me, it was like a golf bag with the radio in it.
Really? Well, what kind of music?
Well, we have a recording of it. It was like, there you go. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
It's chilling to hear it again.
And what sort of reaction?
Well, people were terrified, but at the same time, you couldn't help but party.
Really?
Then it started in with the material, one-liners largely, and...
Right, so it was speaking to you?
We heard the voice. Yeah, really? Well, it spoke.
What did it say to you?
Very few phrases were recognizable. At one point, it did say,
I can't get no respect.
Really? What was it trying to
do? Yeah, I don't know what that meant, but... Yeah, by that time, people were just having such a good time, I guess, that...
Well, that sounds like an incredible super...
Well, yeah, it was eerie, but... At the same time, the presentation was good. The material was fresh.
The Ghost of Rodney Dangerfield on Unsolved Mysteries. And what about the small town of Down Under, Australia, home of the Brisbane Ghost Cab?
Yeah, well, I was just finishing up my shift one night, right, and this bloke gets into the back of the cab, and, I mean, you're not going to believe this, but I swear to you, it was... It was John English.
Right, but John English isn't dead.
Are you sure about that? He's been dead for years, isn't he?
Well, I think we've got what we need here.
Yeah, well, I've had quite a few apparitions and, dead people.
Right, who else have you got?
Gogol?
Gogol.
Yep, it's him.
Nikolai Gogol, the Russian novelist.
Yeah, he's been through.
Right, why would he be getting a cab in Brisbane in 2007?
And he gets...
Right.
Oh, it's bloody Gogol.
Right, okay.
G'day, Gogol. How are you going, mate?
Yep.
How's the old novel writing caber going? You know...
Right, well, I think we've got enough here.
Why do you persist with it, mate?
Yes, well...
I mean, they've done the Da Vinci Code, they've done the illustrated Da Vinci Code, pens down, I would have thought.
It's an unsolved mystery.
Bloody Gogol.
And finally, we reveal who's been playing that sizzling synthesizer. Yes, it's Triple M's own Richard Marsland. Take It to the Bridge, Ricky M.
Oh, beautifully done, yeah. Richard.
The Sonic Journey.
I know you could do that all day, but it's time to get out of here.
Already?
No, Jane, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Will and Lima are coming in next. We have to vacate the premises. What a treat it's been getting you out of the house and into our studio.
Thank
over
you
the last...
so much, boys. It's been lovely being with you and good luck. And
Whatever we do next, we're going to be dragging you down to our level again.
Please
don't you worry.
Please do. I'll be ready and waiting. Apron off.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, emailers. Thank you, podcasters. Thank you, MySpacers, Facebookers, whoever you are. Richard's just holding up a sign of me that says 30 seconds. Mm. Surely we could plug some of your fine work. What are you doing today, Richard?
The podcast is up, number 150.
No, that goes up today.
Nothing happening.
It's still in the kiln. He's looking at an invisible watch. He's not even wearing anything on his wrist.
I'm doing absolutely nothing and you can find it everywhere.
Give us your key phrase, Rich.
Hell, hell, hell. Hell, 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 hell.
Oh, we'll be back tomorrow with another of our favourites. Tony Wilson is going to be here. And it's all thanks to the Nissan Navara, huge pulling power, China hutch, range of colours, range of shapes. Now it's all you know. Hell,
hell. Is up, number 150?
No, that goes up today. That's
Nothing happening.
It's still in the kiln. He's looking at an invisible watch. He's not even wearing anything on his wrist.
I'm doing absolutely nothing and you can find it everywhere.
Give us your key phrase, Rich.
Hell, 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 hell. Hell, hell.
We'll be back tomorrow with another of our favourites. Tony Wilson is going to be here. And it's all thanks to the Nissan Navara, huge pulling power, China hutch, range of colours, range of shapes. Now it's all you know. Hell.